Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I am a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening.
So, Dr. Donna, thank you so much for being here. Quick intro for those of you watching so you know how amazing she is, okay? Dr. Donna Oriowo is an international speaker, clinical social worker, sex and relationship educator, and therapist located in Washington, D.C. metro area. Dr. Donna is the owner and lead therapist of Anod Right, whose mission is to help others reclaim their sexuality, identity, and self-love by being their most wise, free, and authentic selves in addressing intersectionality culture and race in educational and therapeutic settings with a focus on developing healthy Black female sexuality. She can be found on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Anod Right, A-N-N-O-D-R-I-G-H-T. Yeah. Her day or night at www.anodright.com. Oh my God, my voice.
Yay! Thank you for having me. This is sort of exciting. I've never gone Facebook Live with somebody.
Yes, well, I'm so happy to meet you in person. Or kind of virtually in person. So a lot of the contributors in the book, I haven't met personally, but they came highly recommended, or they found me, or I found them. And so this is the first time we're seeing each other's faces live, like moving live.
Yeah. It's so much different than a picture.
I know, it's weird, right? It's like, oh my God, there she is. Okay, so Dr. Donna's quote is on page 134 of the book. We're going to have a relaxed conversation about consent. Mm-hmm. This is only going to be like 15 minutes for those of you watching because you have busy lives. We have busy lives. Everyone's busy. So we're just going to make it short and sweet, but get the point across and hopefully you'll learn something and have fun watching. So here's Dr. Donna's quote. Consent always seems such an elusive concept to so many. The idea that you can take and hold power over someone else's body against their will shouldn't be up for debate. True. So true. The problem has always been about power and its distribution. Sexual assault, after all, is not about sex. It's about power and those who exert their power, their will over others to prove something to themselves. That is deep. Oh my God. So good. It's great though. It's great.
Thank you.
Yes. It's a perfect segue into what about what I was doing with this book that you found out about made you want to be a part of the book? What about what I was doing made you want to be a part of it?
I have so many clients who, they come to me for one thing. So it's like, oh, I have self-esteem issues. And I'm like, okay, let's work on self-esteem. Let's work on that relationship. And then it turns out to be that something more insidious has happened in their life. That there has been some level of sexual assault. And they do this. They do the sexual assault. They're like, I don't know. And they're like, well, I mean, I was there. I didn't say no. I didn't say, you know, like, I don't know if it was sexual assault. I don't know if I was raped. All I know is that I didn't like what happened. And I felt like I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting. Yeah.
And it was funny because it came up around a time where one of my longer standing clients, you know, one of those people that you're like, oh, snap, she made all this, like, progress. We might be terminating soon. She finally, after months and months and months of being with me, felt comfortable enough to tell me that she, too, was a part of the Me Too movement. And how she did it was to talk about an argument she got into with a family member about Me Too and how they're just like, oh, you know, all these women are just sort of bringing it up. It's so hot right now. Everyone is just sort of doing it. And how angry she got and how indignant she was by it and how that sparked me to feel like, okay, there's no way I can let an opportunity to talk about consent with somebody that obviously cares about it enough to write an entire book on it. I can't let it pass me by, especially not where women of color are concerned.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. I think a lot of us, myself included, I literally, okay, so just really quickly, I was wanting to write this book for a couple years, and so many things were happening in our society, and the Trumps and the Weinsteins and all the things. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm the right person to write this book, but someone's got to write something. I don't, you know? And so as I was writing it, though, some things came up for me that I kind of put back in the recesses of my brain from when I was younger. And it was like, wow, this is really interesting that I'd forgotten too. Like, or I just didn't know. I literally repressed certain thoughts and feelings and experiences, which was insane. So it's interesting how certain things can trigger things to come up, right?
Yeah. Because I was just like, you know, for me, it's also like a Me Too. And it's that sort of, this movement sort of triggered me to remember all the little things that you think of as, that some people would say, oh, those are normal. That's part of growing up when you're, you know, you're a young Black girl with a small booty. It's a part of growing up that you are supposed to somehow expect grown men to make comments about your body in a sexual way, that you're somehow expected to be okay with people putting their hands on your person. I mean, I like literally had this conversation with my partner not that long ago, and I was just like, yeah, if somebody wants my phone number, they can have it. I'm not going to die behind giving away my phone number. But while it sounded funny in that second, the real issue is what keeps sort of coming up, that I am not really consenting to give you anything. I'm mostly trying to keep myself safe. Yeah. I'm mostly trying to get you out of my face. And if that means that in the moment I give you my number, and you know now you got to give the real number because they check, then I'm like, okay, you can have the phone number. I'm just going to block the call.
Yeah.
But even then, it's just the murkiness of what consent is. Like, because someone didn't say no, doesn't mean that they said yes. And sometimes people don't feel like they have the power to say no, especially not Black women and women of color. They've already been told that their bodies are public property.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, listen, you know, you're preaching to the choir. You know, I hear you. Absolutely. What's interesting to me that comes up is that for me, and this is chapter 4 in the book, is enthusiastic consent is the new normal.
I love it.
An enthusiastic interaction, whether it be a phone number giving and receiving, whether it be a kiss, whether it be a hug, whether it be, you know, intercourse, whether it be whatever it is, if it's not enthusiastic, that's a no. And that's a new concept for a lot of people. You know, when I'm talking in different circles and, you know, speaking at workshops and colleges, I will say this though, college kids seem to get it a little bit better.
And I think faster. I was at the University of California, Riverside, just talking. Well, we weren't supposed to be talking about consent, but it comes up because we're talking about sex and sexuality. But I'm like, they get it. They got it. And they're just like, well, that doesn't sound like a yes. Like, oh, they said yes, but they didn't say yes.
Right. And I think part of that is maybe because their whole lives, for most of their lives, they've heard about this idea of consent, or at least this word consent, whereas we and generations older than us don't, like, we didn't learn any of it. Like, I remember a little bit about sex ed growing up, and there wasn't a ton. There was nothing about consent.
I was about to say, you had that good of a sex ed education?
Ohio, and it was definitely abstinence, condom, STDs, don't get pregnant, blah blah blah. So I mean, you know,
I remember that one, the don't get pregnant talk, and I was like, how do you get pregnant? Oh my gosh. I'm gonna do it by accident and ruin my life.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's move on, because we're running out of time, and this always happens because there's so much to say, and you're great, so great. I love this, so good. So why do you think that consent is a difficult concept for so many? I mean, we kind of touched on it, but do you have any other ideas about why it's kind of difficult?
Because it feels like it infringes on someone's right to have something that they want. I think that is not that concept is hard to understand. I think that it's like, well, but I want it. Why shouldn't I have it? And because people are of the mentality of I want it, why shouldn't I have it? And I have been groomed this way in society to take what I want. Why now do I have to ask your permission to have anything? It's mine. It was mine before you even began to have the thought that you can now tell me no, sort of thing.
Yeah, no, and that's so interesting, because I was saying with Nicole yesterday, it's interesting because I feel like in this conversation, I know I've had conversations where people are like, oh my God, you're doing this whole thing of consent. Like, are you like anti-romance and anti-intimacy? I'm like, no, I'm actually the opposite. want to be excited about whoever I'm doing it with.
Exactly. Or, then it's pleasurable for everybody.
Exactly. It is pretty, it's pretty simple, really, when you break it down. I mean, let's be, I'm going to, you know, let me put an asterisk on that statement. There are nuances in certain situations, obviously.
Yes.
But at the boiled down point of it, it is, are you enthusiastic? Is that person enthusiastic about being with you? If they aren't, then the new normal is that's a no. Oh my God, let me move on. What is a fun way? Do you have any ideas for a fun way to integrate consent into interactions, whether intimate, non-intimate, whatever? Fun ways.
Like, easy ways are usually for me. I'm like, let's do, thumbs up, thumbs side, thumbs down. How you feeling about, like, do you want to go out to eat? Thumbs up, thumbs side, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Do you want to have sex in the kitchen? Thumbs up, thumbs side, thumbs down.
I was just going to say, in intimate moments, do you want me to do this thing to you? It is. I like that, actually. I think it's great because, I mean, but you bring up another good point that not everyone is verbal. And so there are moments when we're like, they should have said no, or why can't they just say no, or just say this, or just push. It's like, well, sometimes people don't have those capabilities. You said it earlier before. I am a very outspoken person, but even I have had moments where I'm like, oh, I don't know what I should say now. I don't know what to do. I kind of freeze up.
Yep.
So if I, as an outspoken woman, have that problem, of course other people do, you know?
I'm like, sometimes it's just as simple as putting those two hands up like, oh.
Yeah.
Or the finger like, wait, give me a moment. I need to even think about whether or not I want this. And for me, that's the other part of consent that maybe we need to be talking about just as much. But the mm-hmm. part where you know enough about you to know what you want.
Yes.
To be able to say, okay, here are my intentions before I even leave the house. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. I'm open and able and capable of changing my mind about what I want and don't want and being able to communicate that better. And for that, I'm like, sometimes I feel like you got to practice, whether it's practicing in the mirror or practicing with those small things. So practicing those communication skills, like at the grocery store. Excuse me, you're in my way, because people, I feel like, huff and puff behind you with their carts, but won't say anything. So just practicing in those ways all the time.
Yes. Everyday scenarios is a really good way to practice. When I coach clients, a lot of times if someone's nervous about just dating in general or something like that, I'll say, just if you're nervous around women or men or whoever you're interested in dating, just start talking to them at the coffee shop. Like, just make it so that it's not this pedestal of like, oh my God, these people or this person, I'm so nervous. Right?
Exactly. Take the pressure off.
Yeah. You know, and other thing you said, so many good things. I feel like we just need to do more of collaborating or something, because this is so great. But one of the other things you said is boundaries. You know, that I put that in the book. It was really important for me to put that in the book. There's a chapter on boundaries, how to get to know your own boundaries, so that you can have a better idea of, you know, when things are like infringing on your boundaries. Of mm-hmm. course, we're not saying that your boundaries still can't be infringed on. Of course they can, even if you have them in place.
But exactly.
That is part of the conversation. Your own boundaries are really important. And then, of course, the other side is respecting the boundaries of others. Of course, right?
And not saying that only certain people get to have boundaries that you will respect. Needs to be across the board. Like, we can't say, oh, well, I don't respect women's boundaries. Oh, I don't accept people of color's boundaries. No, we need to understand our boundaries and then respect the boundaries of others, whatever those boundaries may be. Especially not like with ageism and all that. Like, we teach our children to basically be okay with not having or giving consent, and then want to turn around and say, okay, now give and get consent. It can be hard to sort of switch gears like that.
Give and get consent. It is. I mean, because you're right. I mean, there's something that's been ingrained in us, especially in this culture just in society, really, that, again, consent is a new thing for a lot of people. And so it is this weird thing of, oh, no, wait, but now, like, I can't just, like, hug whoever I want. Like, they might not want that, and I have to be okay with that? What? Anyway. All right, so we're wrapping it up, because 15 minutes goes fast. It's crazy. Okay, so what is something, a final message that you'd like to give the viewers around consent, a final piece of advice, last final thoughts?
It's not hard. It is, It is a very easy concept. Think of consent as how you would think of getting someone's consent to make them coffee. Would you like some coffee? Would you like coffee with cream? Would you like coffee with sugar? It's the same thing. It's really simple. You already do it every day. We're just asking you to apply the skills you have to a completely different area. That's all.
I love it. And honestly, like, why wouldn't we want to have enthusiastic interactions? Like, I want someone to be excited to be around me, give me coffee or give me a kiss or give, I want someone to be enthusiastic and I want to be enthusiastic about receiving it.
Exactly. Enthusiasm. It tastes better. It feels better. And everyone is happier.
Yes. Yes. So please, please, Dr. Donna, tell everyone where they can find you, all of the things you want to plug.
You can find me on anodright.com. It's spelled out on my shirt. ANNODRIGHT.com.
I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time. You're in D.C.
Yep.
If the book tour is there, which I hope it will, I want you on stage with me doing the signing, doing all this. So we'll be in touch. I will. I will do it.